Last week, Montezuma Cortez High School announced that it would no longer require students to take world history classes in order to graduate. The change is intended to give students more control and flexibility in the courses they take before graduating. It also puts the school more in line with district and state requirements, neither of which explicitly require world history. Joining me to talk more about this decision is Montezuma Cortez School District Superintendent Lori Hackness and Montezuma Cortez High School Principal Dr. Jason Wayman. Thank you both for joining us.
Yeah, good morning, Austin.
Good morning, Austin.
So I want to talk about a few questions that people in the community have in just a few minutes. But first, I do want to give you guys the opportunity to talk a little bit more about the context behind this decision. Is this about more than just a class?
Yes, sir, it is. When we were reviewing the graduation pathways that are set forth by Colorado Department of Education, it asked for us to really individualize students' graduation pathway to help prepare them for either post-secondary, whatever that looks like, anywhere from technical school, university, workforce, or armed services. And then in creating, looking at the diplomas that we offer, we wanted to make sure that they were perfectly in line. In reviewing our district policy, we saw that we weren't really offering the choice that we needed. Like in most subjects like science, we start out with two required classes and then give kids an optional third, which allows them to kind of explore things that are in their interest and better suited to the student and what they want to do after high school. And we didn't have that in this department in this instance. So we don't want to do away with world history. We simply had it in a spot where kids never had a choice. So we moved it to a different, to after the freshman year, so that we still stayed in line with board policy, and then students would have the choice.
Okay. So it sounds like what you're saying is that this decision was made with the intention of giving students more choices in the classes they can take.
Yes, sir. And better aligned with what they want to do post-secondarily.
Sure. Lori Hackness, does the school district require students to take world history courses?
According to our policy, which aligns with state policy, the high school is required to offer two classes. The first one is government, and the second one is U.S. history. Now, obviously, world history is very important, and so that's where Dr. Wayman has been working with the social studies department to also integrate some of the world history standards into the other classes that are being offered.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's also giving some, it sounds like it's combining world history with, say, U.S. history and government. Is that what you're saying?
Right, and you can't have a history perspective without having a both local, national, and global perspective on things. So, yeah, we would never just do away with it and just focus on, like, local and national.
Sure. I want to get back to, Dr. Wayman, what you were talking about, choices, giving students more flexibility and options. Aren't there certain things that students and, anyone should learn about even if they don't want to? For example, at age 16, I really did not want to learn about algebra, but I'm glad that I did. How does that play into your decision? There's certain things that students should learn about. If you're saying that world history isn't one of them, why is that? Why are you talking about flexibility in that context, but maybe not with English or algebra?
Right. And what we were talking about there is we're not dropping those standards completely. We're using different pathways such as economics. You can't cover economics without going through world history, world markets, and other things that play into what drive our local economics. So you wouldn't drop that. You would just focus on different areas and still integrate that in. So it's not that we're saying it's not important, because you have to know how the world plays into and the global economy plays into our national and local economy. So you wouldn't just drop that. That plays into everything that we do. And same with U.S. history. A lot of our decisions that we make as a country involve a lot of other country and there's a lot of other world affairs. And so even when you teach U.S. history, you still teach world history at the same time, because they play together.
Sure. At the same time, though, teachers are already hard-pressed to incorporate a lot of different things into their curriculum.
Yes, sir.
And that can be challenging for teachers when they have to do this and this and this and this. With world history, if you have to cover the history of the United States and the history of the world in one semester, that seems like a lot, doesn't it?
You don't cover the history of the world and the history of the United States in one semester, and you can't even cover the history of the United States in two semesters. There's too much. So you have to pick and choose the most important events, and the most important events in United States history didn't occur in a silo. They occurred with other countries and other things that occurred in the world and globally that factored into the decision. So you have to use both when teaching the subject in depth and to give a full perspective on what's happening.
Sure. One more question for you, Dr. Wayman. The part of the statement that the high school released to KSJD last week said that world history courses would be offered, quote, if there's demand.
Yes, sir.
Will there be a world history course at the high school next year?
Next year, we're making the transition. So the freshmen are coming and taking U.S. So the actual choice where kids get to choose if they want a world history won't occur until the following school year, but it will be offered for students and families to choose if that's what they'd like their student to
take. So you're saying next year there will or will not be a course?
Next year there won't, because we'll have freshmen taking U.S. history, and all our current freshmen are taking world history will be in U.S. history. So we have double the amount of students in U.S. history as we transition, and then the following year, once our freshmen graduate from U.S. history and then enter where they can actually choose a class, world history will be a choice for them.
Sure.
And we try to put our teachers in our classes where the students in the community want and have the need.
Lori Hackness, I want to turn back to you to talk a little bit more about the district standards related to this decision. You're saying that the district's decision to not require world history but only require U.S. history and government aligns with state standards. Is that what you're saying?
It actually aligns with the criteria given by the state, and it also aligns with board policy. But with that being said, Austin, it doesn't mean that we're totally dropping the standards within the context of world history.
Okay.
World history will be a class that students can take for their third option if they choose to. And then also for, you know, obviously going into next year, there'll need to be some adjustment in the other classes to incorporate some of the, like Jason was saying, the standards within the context of world history. Because, you know, we definitely don't want to drop those. And we do a lot of incorporation of different standards across different contents. For instance, like the career technical education classes, you know, obviously our math scores are not where they need to be. And so part of the career technical ed is to incorporate some math standards and, you know, give professional development to our career technical education teachers in order to help with the math standards, just like you had mentioned with your algebra.
Right, of course. But also, I do want to pull back and talk a little bit more about the broader implications mm-hmm. here, because there is, you know, some people would say that if we don't learn from history, then mm-hmm. we are doomed to repeat it. I'm sure you've heard that before. Is there a risk of this happening to our students, and for that matter, to our country at large, if we're not adequately covering historical events?
Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with that. We have to learn from the past and respect the past in order to move forward in the future and not make the same mistakes. And obviously, it's very, very important in our society in this day and time, as it always is. That's where the high school is going to need to make sure that the high points or the priority standards of world history are incorporated into the other content areas.
And how will the district make sure that that's happening?
Dr. Wayman will be working with the social studies teachers as well as the director of curriculum and instruction to ensure that that happens into the curriculum.
And what have social studies teachers said about this decision? Dr. Wayman.
We looked, and reviewing the standards, we had looked at it, and we had actually wanted to wait a year to actually make this decision, and they wanted to move it up so that because we're making some other changes, and they wanted to make it all at once. And so they support it and also like the thought of getting some more diverse classes in there that are a little more applicable, like we were saying, to individual career tracks and the needs of students. So it's been viewed as it'll be a positive change when it gets fully in effect.
Now, pulling back and changing the subject a little bit, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that it is graduation season. What are some events of the year that stand out to you both, Dr. Wayman?
One exciting night is tomorrow night. We have awards night, so it's great to see, like this year, we have more Daniels Fund scholarship winners this year than we've had in the last 3 or 4 years combined. That's a pretty prestigious scholarship of 4 years. Everything's paid for students. I mean, that's a great award. We also see a lot of other grade scholarships awarded, as well as our valedictorian, salutatorian, and many, you know, just great achievements for our students. So it's a good time to celebrate the many things that our kids can do.
Lori Hockness, looking back at the year, what stands out to you?
I think what stands out to me is, you know, the celebration of obviously our seniors that are going to be walking across the platform on Thursday. That's always very exciting, and to know that they're to the point that they can move on with their lives and and enjoy, you know, the celebration of you know, ending their education here in the district. I think one of the things that really stands out to me, you know, obviously, you know, hearts go out to, you know, the recent shooting that happened with the school shootings. And I really want to, you know, thank the board for, you know, allocating resources and helping to get our schools safer for our students. And I think, you know, at this time in celebration, there's also this time of, you know, just being concerned as far as where our community and, you know, our students are and moving forward with the safety component. Mm. But I'm excited. We had a very, very good year. Like Jason said, we have more students that got prestigious scholarships than ever before, and that's, you know, just moving forward, and we look forward to every year it becoming more and more.